You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm back in the studio today with church planting leader and president of Send Network, Pastor Vance Pittman. Vance, so good to be with you, brother.
Noah, always good to get to hang out. Love getting to do this, especially now that we're both residents in the same city.
Yeah.
Both of us, God used to plant churches in different cities, you in St. Louis, me in Vegas, and I was there for over 20 years, you for close to 15 years, and now we both live in the great state of Georgia. But it's awesome to get to be in the same room and get to do this together.
Absolutely. And we're back today for another conversation with Catherine Renfro, who joined us on the last episode. Catherine is a pastor's wife, a mom, serves as the National Director of Women's Evangelism for the North American Mission Board. Her and her husband have planted Hope Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. She has a master's degree in Christian education and biblical counseling. She has an amazing shoe game, and she's got a lot of wisdom to help us with today to equip the local church to raise up women, not only for evangelism, but today we're talking about raising up women leaders. Welcome back to the podcast, Catherine.
Thank you so much, Vance and Noah. Thanks for having me back.
It's exciting to have you, and I'm excited about today's conversation, specifically in light of some things we're working on with Send Network. You know, one of the things since I stepped into this seat a couple of years ago is really trying to take us back to a more biblical missiology. Not that we didn't have that already, but just trying to continue to build on that foundation and hone in on biblical missiology. And there's several aspects to that. One that we've been talking about a lot as it pertains to Send Network over the last 2 years is engaging cities. It starts with the city. It doesn't start with the church service. It starts with the city, where you engage people with the gospel, see disciples made, and then churches are born. But another key component of a biblical missiology as it pertains to church planting is church planting teams.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mistakes we've made in North American missiology is about sending out the Lone Ranger church planter and his family to go and plant a church. We're trying to find this guy who we can send out to go plant a church. The problem is that's not the way they did it in the New Testament. Jesus had a team. Paul, the greatest church planter ever, everywhere you read the name Paul in the Bible, almost always the next word is and, because it enlisted the number of people who were with him. Paul never went anywhere by himself. So we want to send out missionary teams, and a part of that is sending both men and women as a part of these missionary teams to engage cities with the gospel, see churches planted. So a new strategic emphasis of Send Network is mobilizing women as missional leaders within their unique spheres of influence. And we're going to focus on three areas: equipping women to engage their local context with the gospel, developing women to strengthen their church team, plant, replant, or existing church, and then mobilizing those women to activate their calling where they live, work, and play. So as we talk today with Catherine, who I'm so excited to hear from, about raising up women leaders, this specifically affects us at Send Network. And I know that our audience is much broader than just Send Network. All of those involved in church planting, we must have pathways to raise up both men and women as leaders to form teams to be sent out to cities to engage with the gospel, to see disciples made in churches planted. So this is an important conversation today.
So big. So Catherine, right out of the gate, why is it crucial to discuss and prioritize the topic of raising up women leaders in our church communities?
Yeah, it is so important. If we're going to see this world reached with the gospel, it's going to be because every follower of Jesus lives out their purpose of knowing Jesus and making him known. Mm-hmm. And that includes women. When I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the spiritual gifts that people are given. It talks about the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so when you think about the body of Christ, women make up a large part of the body of Christ. And so not only do they make up part of the body of Christ, women have been gifted with specific and unique gifts by God to be used for God to advance the gospel. And so to invest in women, to equip women, to mobilize women, to play their part that God has given them is so important. We can't overlook it. You know, I think about First Timothy. We need women who are raised up that can equip other women, that can pour into other women. If women have been gifted in the areas of administration, worship, service, teaching, a variety of other gifts, if we're not investing in them and helping them leverage those gifts that God has given them to advance the kingdom, we're just missing a huge opportunity.
Well, and you just made the point, the biblical argument about the body of Christ. I mean, think about if any of us today were going to try to function and only half of our body was going to work. Like, we would not be productive. We would not be able to do all that we needed to do today if half of our body was ineffective. And if you look at most local churches are made up percentage-wise of more women than men, if you do it. America as a nation has slightly over 50% female. So if we're going to see the whole body take the whole gospel to the whole world, we must be about raising up women as missional leaders.
Yeah. So true. So what specific strategies can churches implement to equip and train women for leadership roles specifically?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, if we don't have a plan for it, it's probably not going to happen.
Yep.
So creating a specific plan for it in your ministry context is where it all begins. I think we've got to identify areas in the context of the local church that women can lead in. Be looking for those opportunities and then start challenging women to pray about leading in those areas. I'm so thankful for the people that sat down with me and said, I see a calling in your life. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for those people, I literally don't know where I would be today.
Yeah.
And so seeing women and seeing the calling that God has placed on their life to lead in ministry, to serve, whatever it may be, and then not only challenging them to follow this call that God may be giving them, but providing those opportunities for them to do it. I think it's one thing to talk about it. I think it's another thing to actually do it, you know? And so we want to talk about raising up women leaders. We want to talk about providing opportunities for them to lead. At what point do we just say, okay, here's the opportunity, run with it. But then be there and encourage them along the way, support them along the way, you know, coach along the way. So I'm thankful for the people who did that for me, who saw something in my life that I didn't see. That's the thing, a lot of women, they don't know, you know? They just don't know. They need someone that will say, no, God has gifted you in this way, and we want you to leverage those gifts for the kingdom.
That's really good. I'll just say this as somebody who's been in pastoral ministry for over 30 years, and I'm complementarian by conviction, but complementarianism can't become a cop-out from mobilizing the whole body of Christ to engage in the mission. And I want to challenge all the pastors that are listening today to make sure, yes, it's my responsibility, as Paul gave to me in 2 Timothy, to pour into faithful men who will be able to teach others also. But I also, as a shepherd of the body of Christ, have a responsibility to build intentional pathways to both raise up men and women to engage in the mission. And Noah, I know that you pastored in a city in St. Louis where you planted, and your church, you know, did this in some effective ways. Talk about how some of the ways you did that at August Gate.
Yeah, so we believe that every member should be a leader, because we think membership or leadership is just influence.
Yeah.
We want to be a disciple maker. And so every member, we would sit down for a covenant member interview. We'd ask them about their spiritual gifts, and we would speak into their life. Here's how we see you leading. Here's how we see you growing. The husband, the wife, the man, the woman, if it was an individual, it didn't matter. And then ministry team leaders, male and female, we train them the exact same way. We need you leading in all your gifts. Deacons, I know Greek, so we had male and female deacons.
Come on now. But he just threw it down right there.
But then elders, we had another track for elders, and complementarian. But I think so many church planters are short-sighted. They think if we want to multiply a church, we got to raise up our next church planter. Yes, but that is so short-sighted. You need to raise up a team. And so every week, we'd send our church out. We always end the same way for 15 years. Go to love, serve, and tell. You are sent.
Yeah.
And we want every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to understand that calling and to raise up as a leader as God calls them to.
And I joked about what you said there with deacons, and I don't mean to be crass about that. What I mean to point out is that all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ can have varying views on how we approach some things in Scripture. But we need to have a humility about that so that we can give deference to one another where we do differ and where we do have some disagreements. Because I like you know, at our church in Las Vegas, we had both male and female deacons based on the New Testament as the way I read it. I know some within our tribe in particular would say you shouldn't do it that way. And we have the right to agree to disagree on some of those tertiary, secondary issues in Scripture. So I don't want to make light of it, but it is an important point that we have to create intentional pathways to be about the mobilization of women leaders. And in doing that, there are going to be challenges. So, Catherine, what are some of the unique challenges that women face when assuming leadership roles?
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges that women face. I think comparison is a huge challenge, you know, comparing themselves and their abilities to what others are doing. I think seeking approval is a huge challenge. Mm. And one of the things that I pray for in my own life daily is literally for courage, clarity, and confidence in Christ. I pray that, you know, before I meet up with someone for coffee, I pray that before teaching, I pray that before this podcast, you know, because the approval, I need God's approval. Mm-hmm. But women, we tend to seek approval from other places, and we want to know we're on the right track. We want to know we're doing the right thing. And it's important that people come along us and can affirm and encourage us. But at the end of the day, man, if we can help women seek their approval in Christ and what He's called them to do and leverage their life to that, it's a game changer. I think another challenge is balancing work life, home life, family life. Most women in ministry are not on staff at a church full time. Mm-hmm. So they may be balancing two full time jobs, you know, between their career job, vocational job, and the ministry they're doing at the church. Yeah. Then they have the home life. So balancing all that. I pray about the church just creating more opportunities for women to be in ministry in full-time capacities. Mm. Now, there are a lot of churches who are already doing that, and I am so very grateful for that. So if we continue to think through what that could look like in our churches, could be helpful. The other challenge is training and education. And I'm so thankful for Nate Merrill, who gave me the opportunity to intern back when I was a college student and then talked to me about seminary. I had no idea what seminary was. Mm. And so when he said, hey, I see this calling on your life to ministry, I want to encourage you to go to seminary if you feel like the Lord's calling you in this direction for full-time ministry. I would have never known about seminary. Wow. I just didn't have that background. Yeah. So providing education and training opportunities, I think that's important. Hey, we could help. What if the church were to support women in that? Mm. What if they were to put money towards sending women to training, to seminary or wherever it may be, to get education to help them in their training? So in the classroom, training is important, but also hands-on experience, I think, is even more important. And so the challenge is there, just giving women opportunity to get hands-on experience, to learn and then lead. So.
I just, in my own life, Noah, a challenge, and Catherine, I'd love to hear your response to this, but is just historical context. Like, I didn't grow up in a context where this conversation was really celebrated. Not that it was not, it just wasn't talked about the way it is now. My mom was very involved in ministry, but she always did it as a volunteer, even though what she did is actually a paid job in a lot of churches. She did it as a volunteer because my dad was the pastor of our church. But the historical context that I come out of, like I recently sat down with my wife and just apologized to her because I'm watching some of our young church planters today do a much better job of mobilizing their wife. Not that every wife has got to be on stage. I think every person, male or female, should be able to be comfortable being who they are, full of Jesus. And for some people, that's on a stage. For some people, that's behind the scenes. So everybody's got to be comfortable to be who they are. But I didn't really think about, like, I just didn't grow up in a context where that was celebrated. And I'm watching some of our younger church planters that are doing a great job of letting their wife be a part of the team where she wants to be. And I just don't think it wasn't that I didn't want to. I just didn't have any experience in that. Mm-hmm. And so I think historical context sometimes can just be a challenge in overcoming some of this conversation.
Yeah, one of the challenges I've seen is what we call the actual and accessible problem we have in our churches. It happens with discipleship. We have discipleship hours or small groups or whatever it is. and you don't take care of kids in some way, it's always going to be the mom who gets pulled away. Same thing with leadership training. We do small group leader training.
Yeah.
We do ministry team leader training. If you don't provide childcare, one of those parents is going to have to stay home. And who does it end up being more often than not? So we said, if we're committed to raising up women leaders, it has to be accessible to them and it has to be actual, where we can go to them and say, what are your challenges specifically? How do we overcome that as a church? And so our small groups went from being a couple of nights a week to all kinds of times. Our leadership trainings, not just one time, but multiple times. Because if you really say we value this, you've got to build for it. Because
right.
if you don't, if you always do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten.
That's right.
And if we want to see something change to mobilize women to lead in the giftings God has given them, we got to change the way we do things.
So good.
Yeah, I think it's also important just to talk about the possibilities with women.
Yeah.
At the time where I started going into seminary, I had no idea what was ahead because I didn't know any women who were in full-time ministry. I knew God was calling me to ministry, but I had no idea what that could look like in the context of the local church.
Yeah.
And so I went and just literally prayed, Lord, I know we plan our ways, but you determine our steps. And so just trusting that he was going to open the doors along the way as the time came. But what if we were to start now talking with, whether it's students, whether it's college students, young adults, what if we were to start at a younger age talking about what the possibilities are for women in ministry so that they're thinking in that way? It was terrifying for me to step out of what I thought the career path God was leading me on to go a completely different way that I had no context for.
Yeah.
So. That's so good. And I was just listening to you articulate that, Catherine, and my prayer is that there are young ladies listening to this right now all across North America who for the first time are hearing what you heard, an empowerment, an invitation from the Holy Spirit of God to put their yes on the table and join in his activity in a way that maybe they didn't even dream possible. I pray that what you just shared is a divine moment in the lives of young women all over North America that are hearing that.
Yeah, I'll never forget some friends of mine who just said around the table on a Sunday night, me not knowing what God was going to do through my life and in my life, but they said we know God's going to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. You don't know what that looks like or what that means, you know, and it's not some prosperity thing.
No.
It's to put your yes on the table, do what God's calling us to do, and then watch Jesus do what only he can do.
Mm. That's so good. You know, one of the things that I think that our church planters that are listening, they want to lead their church as well. Being reminded of the book of Ephesians, where it says that we've been given these leaders of the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And all these varied gifts that exist within the church. I think about our church planting context, all of our elders' wives, they all had different gifts. And we wanted them to lead in their gifting. One did lead children's ministry, which is kind of cliche, right? But my wife was not that gal. My wife was a connector of all things. So she became our ministry director, tying everything back to the vision. We had women in our church that were doing curriculum development. We had women that had been teaching Bible study fellowship for years to other women that are doing research for our sermon series. All these ways of saying, hey, I'm going to equip you for the work of ministry as God has called me to oversee this church. I think that, again, we're just short-sighted. And if church planters would open their eyes to see the possibility, then that's what Jesus shared with the disciples when he's speaking to the woman at the well. He says, lift up your eyes. The harvest is here. They were so short-sighted and insular in their thinking. And Jesus said, open your eyes to the possibilities, what God's doing in his kingdom.
And Noah, what I love about the conversation we're having is, and if I could just be really transparent.
Come on.
Like, you and I have both been pastors for a long time. And you and I even have some disagreements on the actual preaching role
that
a woman can play inside a local fellowship. We're both complementarian by conviction. We're at different places on the spectrum of complementarianism. But what I love is, as brothers with even disagreeing viewpoints leading in the same network, we're talking about the same conversation, which is celebrating the mobilization of women leaders as it pertains to the mission of God.
Yeah.
This is an issue that is bigger than your view of complementarianism. This is bigger than the issue of where you find yourself on that spectrum. This is about mobilizing half of the body of Christ to engage in the mission.
Well, I think it's also tagging on that. It's saying in all of our churches, we have women like Catherine who just didn't even know
yeah.
the possibilities of how God wanted to use their gifts.
Yeah.
And I think there's conversations that are happening in a larger sphere right now, and it's the wrong conversation.
Yeah.
I think the leading conversation must be, how do we equip them? How do we open our Bibles and say, Jesus, help us to equip the saints? And Catherine, you've been a tremendous example of that. Hey, tell us about some resources that are coming out that are there to help train women as leaders.
Yeah, I'm so excited about these. We just released a new resource called Women in the Mission of God. Mm. It's an ebook that you can find on our website, namevangelism.com. This is a 7-chapter ebook that's designed just for everyday women to learn to identify their mission field, to think through people that God is putting in their path that doesn't know Jesus, and to equip them to start having gospel conversations in everyday moments of life. So that's one resource. I'm super pumped about it just because it's for every follower of Jesus.
And this 7-chapter ebook, who wrote that?
I wrote that.
See, I knew you weren't going to say that.
No.
But again, just an incredible resource. And I got to be honest, Catherine, just hearing you articulate some of the things you've said today, and know as a pastor, I felt deep conviction in my own soul about the young ladies that have sat in the churches that I've pastored. Did they not know, you know, these opportunities existed?
Yeah.
I tried to always challenge with the, you know, your job, skill, passion, where you live, work, play. But it's just an area that I think we just constantly need to grow in. And I pray that as pastors and church planners are hearing that, I want you to think about the Catherine Renfros that are sitting in your seats on Sunday that are just waiting for somebody to say, hey, maybe God's calling you.
Yeah.
Maybe God's inviting you to get on the mission. And my prayer is that we see thousands of Catherine yeah. Renfros full of Jesus mobilized for the mission. But I am excited about that resource. Thank you for leveraging what God's taught you and putting it down in print. I've written a couple books. I still don't feel like I'm an author. It's just a weird thing because writing is so hard for me. But somebody told me one time, if you don't put some stuff down in print, then your stuff is not going to impact outside of your generation. Wow. So you putting that down in print has now created a resource that will not only impact this generation, but generations to come, and understanding this call that God's placed on women's lives. And so I'm super excited about that resource.
Yeah, I'm just praying that as women read this resource, that they will see that it's simple, it's practical, and that not only can God use them, but He will use them mm-hmm. if they're just simply willing and available. So that's my prayer for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then just another resource we have coming out in April, so just a couple of weeks from now, is a resource that's for women who are leading in ministry contexts.
Mm-hmm.
The whole resource is designed to help them create a culture of evangelism in their ministry area. It'll lead them through a process that's designed to not only help them examine their own life as a leader and to make sure they're modeling what it looks like to live evangelistically, but also to equip the ladies in their ministry to live evangelistically.
Good.
And we know culture doesn't happen overnight. It does happen over time. But a lot of things that we see as we talk to women across the nation is they've never thought about leveraging their gatherings to equip other women to share the hope of the gospel. And so what could that look like if every time we gathered, we invited people to know Jesus and we equipped people to go share Jesus? But the impact, only the Lord knows what the impact could be.
That's
so
awesome.
That's what that's all about.
And there's also, Noah, another resource coming out in a couple of months. It's not available yet, but it'll be coming out from Sin Network, called Leverage Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's identifying 5 kingdom priorities to teach both men and women how to leverage their life for the sake of the mission. So tons of resources. We'll make all these available in the show notes where you can learn about them. But unbelievable resources, and so thankful that these are available.
Catherine, so thankful for your role, not only here at the North American Mission Board, but in the kingdom of God. And I pray today's episode will be used to inspire so many, not just women to leadership, but so many leaders to raise up women so the whole body is activated for the mission of God. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you guys for letting me join you. And I just appreciate your focus on equipping and mobilizing women.
It's awesome.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to the New Churches podcast. Until next time, let's heed the words from Ephesians 4 and equip the saints for the work of ministry. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.